Our message tonight is not going to be too long. But this year, I don't always, but this year, I was using an Advent devotional, and it was one done by Dr. Brian Simmons, who is the gentleman who wrote the Passion Translation that some of you are familiar with. And he got me stirred up and thinking about a few things. And once that happens, once I get stirred up and thinking about a few things, before you know it, it's a teaching. So here we are. How many of you, when you were growing up, had a childhood hero? Nobody? Who had a childhood hero? Me. I was a child of the 50s, and so we had a lot of heroes. We didn't have yet the Captain America, Fantastic Four heroes, but we had Superman. And we had Mighty Mouse. And we had... Well, I had, my parents didn't have a television, but we lived in this apartment over our landlords, and the landlords had three boys. And every certain night, which I don't remember which night it was, they would call up the stairs and say, "Lisa, come down, it's time for Hopalong Cassidy." Now, some of you probably have never heard of Hopalong Cassidy, but he always wore a white hat because the good guys always wore white hats. That's how you could tell them apart. And the bad guys always wore black hats. So Hopalong Cassidy was one of my heroes. Always had a white hat, white horse, and I actually, one year, he made an appearance at the War Memorial. And I got to meet him. Hopalong Cassidy, my childhood hero. Well, it didn't matter who the childhood hero was or who your hero was. All of them had supernatural powers. Superman was the first one that could, like, fly and leap off a building and bend steel with his bare hands, and he had X-ray vision. I thought that could be dangerous, though, if used improperly. But they all had supernatural abilities. And you know, the Disney movies back there, too, there was always a good guy and a bad guy. Well, it was usually a bad woman, if you've ever noticed in most of the Disney movies. All of the wicked stepmothers and evil queen, always women. I don't know what Walt was saying there, but he may have needed some healing of some sort. But my favorite Disney movie when I was a kid was Sleeping Beauty. And Maleficent was the evil woman. And then there was Aurora, who was the princess, and Philip, who was the prince. And Flora, somebody, and Meriwether, Florifon and Meriwether, were the little fairies. Now, Philip had the sword of truth and the shield of victory. We're getting closer to what a real hero should be, I think. Now, if you compare that to who some of our kids think of as heroes, not many of them are carrying a sword of truth or a shield of virtue. I remember, you know, lots of them are sports figures, and I wouldn't say what they do is supernatural. They get paid a lot of money to do it. And most of them, remember the year that Michael Jordan was the guy, and he also was known for a few other things. He was a womanizer. There were a lot of our heroes today. And in some of the movies you watch, it's like, who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. They don't wear white and black hats anymore, and it's really hard to tell. It's also really hard to tell unless you really know who's God and who's not God. Because there's a lot of mixed, fringy, kind of weird stuff happening. And it's not always clear. Is that God? You know, lots of people say to me, I'm a very spiritual person. That doesn't usually do very much for me. Being a spiritual person could mean any number of things. Some of you know I went to a funeral for Ron's cousin recently, and it was in a well-known denomination, but they've gone off a little bit. And so at the beginning of the funeral, the gentleman that was officiating said, all right, now they all have this voice too. All right, now I want you to close your eyes and breathe in the spirit of Bob. Not him, Bob, Ron's cousin. And I'm like, these eyes are not closing, and I'm holding my breath for the rest of this service because I'm not breathing in any kind of weird spirit here. He talked about Jesus. But that wasn't the Jesus I know. Not breathing in any kind of weird spirits. I'm closing my eyes. Our world is hungry for a hero. You know, we used to have heroes even in politics. Not so much anymore. But so it's been throughout history where people, the human race, have gone astray and been in need of a hero. But no matter how far you look and no matter how appealing or how many supernatural powers a made-up hero has, none of them will compare with the hero that we have, the person of Jesus Christ. I want to read something to you in Psalm 89. You know, right from the beginning, Father God knew, well, how we don't know exactly how long it took for Adam and Eve to eat the fruit, but somewhere along the line they did, and he made a promise that he would send a deliverer. And throughout the Old Testament, we have promise after promise after promise, but I chose this one in particular because of some of the wording, and you'll get it as I read it. Psalm 89, I will sing of the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness from generation to generation. For I have said, mercy and loving kindness shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness will you establish the very heavens. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. Your seed I will establish forever. I will build up your throne for all generations. Let the heaven, the angels, praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the mighty heavenly beings can be likened to the Lord? God, greatly feared and revered in the council of the holy angelic ones, and to be feared and worshipfully revered above all those who are round about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like unto you, O Lord? And your faithfulness is round about you, an essential part of you at all times. Skip down to 13. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. Your right hand is soaring high. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and loving kindness and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound, who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized by the feasts. They walk, O Lord, in the light and favor of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day. In your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, their proud adornment. And by your favor our horn is exalted, and we walk with uplifted faces. For your shield belongs to the Lord, and to our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Once you spoke in a vision to your devoted ones and said, I have endowed one who is mighty, a hero, giving him the power to help, to be a champion for Israel. I have exalted one chosen from among the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established and ever abide. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy will not exact from him or do him violence or outwit him, nor shall the wicked afflict and humble him. I will beat down his foes before his face and smite those who hate him. My faithfulness and my mercy and loving kindness shall be with him. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. Great power and prosperity shall be conferred upon him. Verse 26. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the king of the earth. My mercy and loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast and be faithful with him. His offspring also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. Is this really talking about David? No. It's talking about the offspring of David, whose throne will endure forever, who God says, I'm sending you a hero with the power to help you. He has a mighty arm. He will be righteous and do justly. Those are some of the adjectives we hear about those comic book heroes, but those aren't real. This hero is real. And he says, his offspring, which is us, we are the offspring of God. We have become the children of God. Mercy, loving kindness, covenant that will stand fast. His offspring also I will make to endure forever, and his throne will endure as the heaven forever. It's not a here today, gone tomorrow. And these were the promises that the Old Testament was filled with. There's a hero coming. He's mighty. He's just. He has a strong arm. He will deliver you from your enemies. He will set you free. He will make you the child of God. Over and over and over again, these words were spoken. Not David, but Jesus. And we get to the end of the New Testament, and although it's not necessarily in chronological order, we come upon 400 years of silence. There's no prophets arising. They can look back on what's been written of the book, the Torah, but there's nobody saying anything, including God, until it became the fullness of time. There's a whole other teaching to talk about what needed to happen in those 400 years for it to become the fullness of time, and someday I'll share that maybe. But it became the fullness of time. once again, some supernatural things started happening. Angels were showing up while people were going about their business, serving in the temple, waiting for their fiancé, being the fiancé. Some things started to happen. Israel surely did need a hero once again. God had delivered them many, many times from the Egyptians, from the Babylonians, from the Syrians, from the Persians. And now they were in the hands of the Romans, still in bondage. And who does he choose to bring the first prophetic word of this hero back to light but an old priest named Zechariah? It was an appointed time for him. We talked about this at our home meeting a couple weeks ago. The high priest went in a rotation. It was his turn to go into the Holy of Holies. And he goes in to fulfill his duty. And lo and behold, there's an angel that shows up with him. He's taken aback, as I'm sure any of us would be. We were at work and all of a sudden an angel came and he told him something pretty amazing, that he and his wife, Elizabeth, were going to be parents. It seemed unfathomable to him. He said, No. That can't happen. And the angel said, well, here's the deal. There's nothing impossible for God, which is also the message that he gives to several other people in this scenario. And he said, from now until the day your son is born, whom you will call John, there'll be no talking. You will be silent. Here's the guy who has the first prophetic word in 400 years, and he can't talk. Because if he could talk in that moment, he probably wouldn't be saying the right things. He's so long in there with the angel, the people are getting worried outside. They might have to do that, you know, thing where they pull him out front the cord, because he's been killed probably in the presence of God. But no. And so lo and behold, indeed, Elizabeth, his wife, becomes pregnant. And as was the way it was done in the Jewish tradition, your child was very often named after the father, or at least, at the very least, after some relative in your family. And so, of course, the midwives or whoever was attending Elizabeth assume that this baby's name is going to be Zechariah. And she said, no, his name is John. And they're like, well, I'm sure Zechariah wouldn't go along with this. And so they say to him, his name's Zechariah, right, Zechariah? And he gets a tablet and he writes down, his name is John. And he shows it to him, and instantly he can talk. Does he talk about his baby first? No, he doesn't. He talks about someone else's baby first. And I'm going to read this to you from the Passion Translation, Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through 79. So Zechariah's got his voice back. And it says, and then Zechariah was filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. The first one recorded in 400 years. Praise be to the exalted God of Israel, for he has seen us through the eyes of grace, and he comes as our hero God to set us free. the hero is coming to set us free. He appears to us as a mighty Savior, a trumpet of redemption from the house of David, his servant, just like we read in the psalm. Just as he promised long ago by the words of his holy prophets, they prophesied he would come one day and save us from every one of our enemies and from the power of those who hate us. What a promise. We have an enemy who hates us. If you haven't discovered that yet, I promise you will. He's come to save us from every one of our enemies and from the power of those who hate us, just in true superhero fashion. That's not in here. Now, he has shown us the mercy promised to our ancestors, for he has remembered his holy covenant. He has rescued us from the power of our enemies, thus fulfilled the sacred oath he made with our father Abraham. Now we can boldly worship God with holy lives, living in purity as priests in his presence every day. How did he know that? He was a priest. He knew not everybody was a priest. But when our hero comes, everyone's a priest. And so I prophesy. Now he finally gets around to John. I prophesy, my little son, you will be known as the prophet of the glorious God. For you will be a forerunner going before the face of the Master Yahweh to prepare hearts to embrace his ways. You will preach to his people the revelation of salvation life, the cancellation of all of our sins, to bring us back to God. This is not the law, people. This is superpowers. The splendor light of heaven's glorious sunrise is about to break over us in a holy visitation, all because the mercy of our God is so very tender. The manifestation from heaven will come to us with dazzling light to shine upon those who live in darkness, near death's dark shadow. He will illuminate the path that leads to the way of peace. A hero God is coming in a supernatural, holy visitation to do amazing things. In the Amplified, verse 74 and 5 says this, to grant that we, being delivered from the hand of our foes, might serve him fearlessly in holiness, in righteousness, within his presence all the days of our lives. Wow. A holy visitation was coming in about 3 months' time. Our superhero God was coming to rescue and to save all of mankind. We had our family Christmas last Sunday because the kids were traveling and Sarah had to work yesterday. And as I do very often, I asked Alan if he would say grace since Ron's been gone. And he did, but he gave a little exhortation as well. Before he blessed the food, he quoted the scripture in Isaiah 9, which we're all very familiar with. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And he spoke to us, his family, and he said, a child was born, Jesus, baby Jesus, who came in a holy visitation, just as Zechariah said he would. The king who became a baby. He became a man, born as a baby, so that there would be nothing in this life that he would not experience. He left the wonders of heaven and was born as a baby, surrounded by the animals that he created, the manger with the wood he created. Unto us a child was born. And then Alan went on to say, but unto us a son is given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was more than just the baby coming. It's the son that was given, the son of his life, given to die. We sing that line in one of our Christmas carols, born to die. Born as a baby, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given, because of how much Father God loved us. And I know everyone here well enough to know that every single one of you have had a holy visitation. In the fullness of time, for me, it was in July of 1972. I had a holy visitation. A child brought me new life, and the son that was given forgave my sins and cleansed me. And I've had many holy visitations since then, a while after the Holy Spirit came upon me, many times in times of great darkness. The peace of God has come upon me. The grace of God has fallen upon me, and I'm sure that's true for every one of you. He came for the whole world, a child and a son, but he came for you, just you as well. And we, as his children, are now given the same task, the same assignment that John the Baptist had. I must decrease that he may increase. But every one of us now are given the job, under the power of the Holy Spirit, to declare the same things that Zechariah said his boy would do. Tell them that their sins are forgiven. Tell them that God came in the form of flesh as a baby and lived as a man so he could experience everything that you've experienced, and died in your place. That's what John was called to do. And we, as his children now, that's what we're called to do. I have a hero. I want to tell you about him. He does supernatural things. He has a strong arm. He's righteous. He carries the sword of truth and the shield of virtue. And he's also given that to me. It goes on in Isaiah to say, verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. Has that part happened yet? Has the government of God been established and his kingdom been established forevermore? Not quite yet. Because there's another visitation coming. He is he not, the God who was, the God who is, and the God who will be. This time he's not coming as a baby. This time he's not coming as the suffering Savior. This time he's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Thayer's lexicon, it actually says this about Advent. The future visible return from heaven of Jesus, the Messiah, to raise the dead, hold the last judgment, deal with the enemy, and restore and set up formally and gloriously the kingdom of God right here on earth. There's another visitation coming. And it's one that's meant to give us hope in these dark days. This isn't all there is, folks. And no matter how bleak it may seem to us now, there is a day coming when he's coming again. Both Thessalonians and Revelation talk about there being a sound from heaven. The trumpet will be blown. Revelation talks about him coming on a white horse with the hem of his garment dripped in blood, and on his leg is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will call forth those who've died already, and then those of us who remain will be changed in the twinkling of an eye to be with him. And he will establish David's throne on this earth forever and ever and ever. There's a visitation coming that will rescue us once and for all. You know, there was a hymn, a poem actually, and then it became a hymn that was written about the second coming of Christ. But we sing it as a Christmas carol, is a reminder of the baby. But listen to these words. Joy to the Lord, the world, excuse me. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. He's coming back as a king. Let every heart prepare him room. In heaven and nature sing. What does Romans tell us? All of creation is groaning and waiting to be reestablished in their former glory as well, because all of the earth came under the curse. But when the king comes back, that curse will be lifted as well. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. All of creation will be worshiping him along with us. The hills, the rocks, the mountains will be singing praise to the King of Kings. No more let sins and sorrow grow. We will never sin again. And he will wipe away every tear. Nor thorns infest the ground. No more thorns, which was part of the curse. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. The curse will once and for all be broken on us and everyone who believes, and on the whole earth. And here's what it's going to be like. He will rule the world with truth and grace. He makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. we are going to have forever to bask in the wonders of his love. We are going to see him face to face. We are going to be like him. And we are going to be basking in the wonders of his love forever and ever. Jen and Ann, would you help us communion, please? If you just come up and take. Who's your hero? He was promised from the beginning of time, prophesied and promised. And in the fullness of time, there was indeed a holy visitation, and a baby was born. Born as a man, so that we could never say, "But Lord, you don't understand." And unto us a child was given, out of the Father's great, great love, to die for us, to take the penalty of all of our wrongdoing, to declare that we are the sons and daughters of God. We've each had a holy visitation. We have a hero who's rescued us, been our refuge and our strength. And we have a promise still yet to come, that the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he will rule forevermore. He will wipe away every tear. We will see him as he is, and we will become like him. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more enemy. Just living in the light of his love, the wonders of his love, for us to behold forever. We remember you, our hero God, you who were, you who are, and you who are yet to come. This song with new eyes and understanding. That you came to us, Lord, when we were living in darkness. And I thank you, Lord, that we anticipate your coming again, Lord, to bring light to this dark world once again. But in the meantime, Lord, give us your grace, your courage, your empowering, Lord, to speak the truth about who you are, that you are our hero, that you are our refuge, that you are our Savior, that you come in mercy and righteousness and truth. Enable each of us, Lord God, to decrease, that you could increase in our lives, and that we would be the forerunners of this second visitation, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters as we finish this holiday season, Lord. Enrich it in ways they can't even imagine for your glory and for their great joy. Amen. Blessings to all of you.